of basic human rights.
The Khoury family and their legal team believe that the Israeli soldiers driving the bulldozer saw Rachel the day she was killed. The family intends to appeal the Haifa District Court's decision at the Israeli Supreme Court. They have 45 days to do so. Jillian Kessler-Damour, FSRN, Haifa.
Spectrum Today was produced by Askia Mohammed. Engineering by David Kelly. I'm Askia Mohammed. The Raucous Caucus starts now, followed by Pacifica's live gavel-to-gavel coverage of the Republican National Convention from Tampa, Florida. Thank you for listening.
Tiffany Jordan, WPFW's Development Director. And you're tuned to member-supported WPFW Washington. Good evening, Washington, D.C., and America, and welcome to the Raucous Caucus. Join the fray as we broadcast live from the golden studios of WPFW 89.3 FM Pacifica. Join Terry, Mark, and Garland as they boldly go where no commentators have gone before to inform, even save the nation with wit, wisdom, and sagacity on the Raucous Caucus.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of the Raucous Caucus here on 89.3 WPFW in Washington, D.C., your Pacifica affiliate. And hopefully Terry is, Terry, you meandering about out there somewhere?
Oh, you betcha. You betcha. I'm right here. I'm ready.
Well, that makes two of us, because Mark's not here yet. However.
What? Did he get lost again? Did we give him the address?
No, actually, you think it might have anything to do with the fact that I locked the door on the outside?
I think it might. You know, we keep on moving. We don't tell him. You know, it's getting a little obvious.
Yeah, and I chained the door from the inside. I thought maybe. I'm not saying that had anything to do with it, but it may make it just a little difficult for him to get in.
Yeah, did you remove all the other chairs from the studio so there's no place for him to sit?
Yeah, I did that again. You know, all of the usual things that we do, Terry.
Okay. You know, just want to make sure.
But for some reason, they just none of them seem to work, you know?
I know, you just can't keep a good man down.
Yeah, so, or Mark either for that matter.
Yeah, right. I hadn't thought of it, but you're right.
So
it's good to be on the air with you, my friend.
Oh man, it's wonderful. I mean, I read something, Terry. Mark should be here any minute. We're going to talk about all kind of things. I guess we may talk about the Republican convention a little bit.
A little bit.
We got odds and ends to talk about. But you know, I read something, Terry.
Yeah.
And that is the Republicans' manifesto, otherwise known as their platform. I'm just going to read you one part of it, Terry.
Yeah.
Just one part. Listen to this. This is on energy. I'll read you one sentence. It criticizes the Obama administration for picking winners and losers in the energy sector and expresses support for new coal-fired plants that will be low-cost. And Mark just walked in. He's going to love this. Everybody knows Mark. They're going to be low cost and they're going to be environmentally responsible coal-fired plants. But
they'll be coal without carbon.
That's it, Mark.
The new white coal.
Well, Mark is here and I relinquish the chair of power.
Okay. Oh, you let him in. You let him in.
Well, I don't know how he got in. Got it, anything got to do with me.
Thank you. Boy, okay. Well, welcome, Mark, as long as you're there.
Thank you. I'm about to get a ticket, I'm sure, from the D.C. Parking Police. You know, it's getting a lot harder to park around WPFW. And so I parked at a parking place, but of course the machines don't work. Everyone in D.C. understands that. So I'll probably end up paying, I don't know, $50 for the privilege of being here with you today because I couldn't put money in the parking meter. You got to
realize, Mark, I mean, that's the cost of all the fans parking out there, all the groupies, you know.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, well,
it takes up all the parking, you know. Not to mention they're screaming and everything, you know.
I, I thought it's just D.C., first of all, making their meters go to 10 p.m., and then second of all, having meters that don't work.
Well, trust me, everything will be better when the Republicans build their environmental, fiscally responsible, environmentally friendly coal-fired power plant.
Well, there's a lot of other things in that platform, too. I don't know how many of you mentioned Garland.
I just got to that. After that, Mark, I was about to hang myself, so I really was probably any of the others.
Let me give you some more, because in the platform, we're going to go back to the gold standard. Which we haven't been on for...
Good, it's about time, but hopefully within a couple of years, right?
For a very long time. Also in the platform, let me just give it sort of a roundabout of, because there's a lot I want to talk about, so let's just lay it all out there, and then we'll definitely deal with each one individually.
I'm sure you're in favor of all of them.
Also, they're going to take the
14th... You're not
going to
read from the Constitution, are you?
Well, partly because they're going to take the 14th Amendment of the Constitution, the one that passed out after the Civil War that allows all of us to be citizens, and apply it to fertilized eggs. So it'll be interesting to see how they how they're going to free the 800,000 imprisoned fertilized eggs that are frozen in vitro clinics. Will they break in, forcibly implant them in women? We're not sure yet.
Also, I think they're just going to arm them. You know, kind of like we did the rebels in rebels in Libya. Yeah, they're going to arm the fertilized.
It's important that you mention that up, because my next point was guns and Garland in the Republican platform.
They're not going to shoot those little test tube babies.
They're going to arm the test tube babies because one of the things. Yes, so they can fight back from their imprisonment. And it'll be interesting to see because presumably now pregnant women can't commit any crimes because then they'd be unlawfully imprisoning the zygote.
I never thought about it.
The embryo.
If they walk around, that's kind of like kidnapping.
Well, actually, it really is. But one way that we can arm them is with guns. One thing that's in the platform is, you know, of course, the 100 bullet magazine that a crazy person in Colorado used to shoot 70 people. They believe that's not enough, and in their platform is unlimited capacity magazines, infinite bullets, because
and infinite opportunity to buy them. So if you just get a small magazine, you can buy 16 or 17 or 1,000 magazines, so you can just keep on shooting for the whole life.
Guys, won't we have to sit around and meditate and get to an alternate state of consciousness in order to contemplate infinite bullets?
Yeah. Well, frankly,
with the universe,
shouldn't we just give a nuclear bomb to every crazy person?
I'm thinking, because give them a shoulder-fired missiles.
That'd be a lot quicker than the infinite bullets in there. So I want to talk about
at least a bazooka.
So I want to talk about the platform. I also want to talk about some crazy Republican rules, including the specific one that there are no bananas allowed in the convention.
I'm not going to touch that one.
I'm not quite sure why. Maybe they're afraid that
they'll slip. When are we going to get serious, guys, and do something real? I mean, surely you're making all this up, right, Mark?
I'm not making any of this up, nor am I making up the fact that Ron Paul, Congressman Ron Paul, who, of course, ran against Mitt Romney for the nomination, they had a rule today that his name is not allowed to be mentioned from the platform, even though he ran for president. So when they did the roll call today, they for example, Nevada, which voted for Paul over Romney, said, you know, we have 17 votes for Paul and 5 votes for Romney. And the chair said, Romney, 5.
You're right, yeah.
So this is the Republican way of handling elections.
You're right.
If you get a vote you don't like, ignore the vote, which brings us back to what's
kinda
going
like
on.
Kind of like climate change.
In Ohio and Pennsylvania.
If there's scientific evidence, you just ignore it.
You just
doesn't
ignore
exist.
It. So I want to talk about all of that. I want to talk about how the Ron Paul people are upset.
You mean the people?
I want to talk
about the banana people.
The banana people. I want to talk about...
Can they say banana from the platform?
I don't know, but they can't say Ron Paul. Of course, Ron Paul was invited to give a speech as long as Mitt Romney could edit and write the speech for him. I'm dead serious. I wish I were joking. No, Ron Paul said, I want to give a speech. And they said, we'll let you give a speech. We have to approve the text. And so Ron Paul promptly gave a very fiery speech outside the Republican National Convention Hall
in
Tampa.
They could have Barack Obama. Barack Obama, you can give a speech.
That's
here.
Right.
As long as Romney can
write the speech.
Yeah, right.
I am a bad president.
I'm getting very confused, guys. Does this mean I can go to the convention? I can go to Tampa. I can go to the convention. I can take in any gun and any amount of ammunition I want. Yeah. I can't take in a banana. I can't mention Ron Paul, and I can get a speech written for me for free, right?
Yes, as long as you pay in gold and promise not to trample on any fetuses on the way in.
And Terry, but okay, think about it, Terry.
I can take my sperm in and everything, right?
Well, you, no, sacred, no, right? No, because your sperm is an independent human being.
Too.
Sperm are people too, Terry.
And now look, there's no problem with the unlimited rounds for your semi-automatic rifle. But let's face it, somebody could slip on a banana peel and break a hip.
That's true. That's true. So
yeah,
let's guns don't kill people. Bananas kill people.
Right, yeah.
Kill people.
And if you misfire, you could waste some bullets.
So I want to talk about all of that. I want to talk about the how they're trying to keep people from voting in Ohio and Pennsylvania, and now New South Carolina is the newest one. Though I guess they've actually never let people,
and
black people, vote in South Carolina.
Say, what's new about that in South Carolina?
But also I want to talk about how Romney is intentionally playing the race card in his ads.
Do you think?
So we're going to talk about that. So a wide agenda for you gentlemen tonight. And I wanted to start, though, with none of those topics. I want to start with the question of legitimate rape. Because we learned a new term this week. There's rape. There's apparently legitimate rape.
Yeah, that's right.
And illegitimate rape.
Yeah, and there's date rape, and there's rape, and there's legitimate rape.
Paul Ryan talked about forcible rape. So Republicans are all over the rape issue, and their point is this.
Are they for all four kinds of rape?
Well, their point is this. If you get pregnant, you were not raped. So apparently, because this is what Todd Akin, Republican, the congressman from Missouri who's running for Senate from Missouri, says that a woman has magical fluids.
Mm-hmm.
That I think the quote is, if the if the womb is dry, the sperm will die. Is the way
is that
it works.
The Republican slogan for this year?
If the womb is dry, the sperm will die. And so the idea is,
I think that's it.
If a woman claims to be raped, but then she turns out to be pregnant, the rapist gets to walk free, and of course she must have the kid because there should be no abortion.
She has to be charged with filing a false report
to the police
department.
That's true.
She's got to get some time.
And if she has an abortion under the Personhood Amendment, well, since the Republicans believe in capital punishment,
then she should be killed.
She should be killed. Save the fetus, kill the woman. So what's fascinating about this whole...
Well, that won't work, guys. That won't work. If you're going to save the fetus and kill the woman, then you're going to have to do an abortion. So how's that going to work?
No. You let the woman live for 9 months while she appeals.
Oh.
Give birth,
okay.
And
you,
then
kill her afterwards. Okay.
Right.
I just want to make sure I understand Republicans because, this is important. We really got to understand these ass... Oh, excuse me.
It all works out.
Yeah.
So here's what I find so interesting about this. It's not that what Todd Akin said is that unusual. As you pointed out, Garland, Republicans really don't like science very much.
Yeah,
here the Arctic ice circle is the smallest it's ever been in recorded human history, and we had the hottest year ever in recorded human history, and Republicans are still denying climate change.
You darn liberals.
Well, wait a minute.
So you liberals and
Todd
your darn
Akin is
facts.
On the science committee, right?
Yes, he is on the Technology and Science Committee, right. So therefore, he
has
to be believed when he says that women are never pregnant as a result of rape. And so all those women that claim to be raped and pregnant are liars. And as you point out, Garland, have to at least be punished for filing false reports. But his point is that if there's a legitimate rape, the woman's body actually naturally aborts. Rather than the way I see it, a woman does get does actually have an abortion when she's raped. It's just that she goes to the abortion doctor to get it.
Let me guess. So the people that will decide whether it's legitimate or illegitimate are men, right? So the men decide. The woman claims rape. The men say, well, let's look at the criteria. Oh, you're pregnant. Well, obviously you're lying and you're not.
Well, according to Todd Akin,
you couldn't take a woman's word for it as to whether or not she was raped.
No, and the reason they believe this, of course, is because they are against abortion in all cases, even in cases of rape, and they needed scientific justification for their moral beliefs, and because they didn't want to be accused of being insensitive, you see. To a rape victim who wanted to get an abortion, they basically said, okay, if she wants an abortion, she's not a rape victim, you see.
I like the way that works.
You're not insensitive to rape victims, because if you want an abortion, you're not a rape victim, and therefore Republicans aren't insensitive.
You know what they're going to do also?
It's kind of like saying if someone gets run over by a car and you walk by and ignore them, what happened is you're not insensitive because they really weren't run over by a car.
Right. And if an African American or a Latino is discriminated against, you just declare that they're not an African American or Latino. So it couldn't possibly have been discrimination.
Or just declare they're not an American.
I never thought about that. Yeah,
that's probably
the
easiest.
Let me give you a real example here of how these people honestly think, because this we're having fun, but it really is a serious thing. You may have seen that Washington Post article a little ways back talking about when Mitt Romney was a bishop and how he performed as a bishop in his church, and even higher. He had very high ranks in the Mormon church.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point he had a young woman who he had, helped in a whole lot of ways, spiritually, economically, et cetera. She was in pretty desperate straits when she joined the Mormon church. And he became her spiritual advisor. He became her spiritual leader. And because of all the help that she got very graciously from the Mormons and Mitt Romney and everything else, she succeeded and pulled herself up and was getting ready to go to school and everything else. And was married and had a couple of kids, and everything was going along okay. She got pregnant, not by a legitimate rape, but she got pregnant, and the fetus was in terrible, 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 terrible shape. And I can't remember all the medical problems. It was far worse than Down syndrome or something like that. But it was a very terrible situation. And she went to Mitt Romney for advice on how to deal with this horrible problem and, should she consider an abortion or whatever. And she explained her situation to Mitt Romney. And Mitt Romney said, no, you can't have an abortion. She explained her situation. They didn't have the money, the health of the baby. The baby may or may not live. It would be, deformed forever, whatever, so on and so forth. And finally, Mitt Romney said to her, and this is true, said to her, well, do whatever you need to do, but remember, you're not my kind of Mormon, and walked out on her. So we're joking about it, but this is real.
Well, it
These
is real.
Guys
and of course,
are
it's,
dangerous.
It's also real science that women who are raped, of course, can give birth and do. And one of the things that I find interesting about this is, of course, Republicans are saying, as they're running as fast as they can away from Todd Akin, Romney said he should get out of the race. They're saying Todd Akin doesn't represent us. And yet you just have to look at their votes. Paul Ryan, actually, I don't know whether he agrees with the science of legitimate rape, but one thing he absolutely agrees with, and he co-sponsored a bill with Todd Akin on something he called forcible rape, where he tried to define a difference between forcible rape and non-forcible rape. I don't know whether the date rape drug is not a forcible rape. I'm not quite sure what the difference is. But he did, for abortion purposes, saying you could only get an abortion if it was forcible rape. So that's Paul Ryan's idea. And then Mitt Romney has said he unequivocally, that's unequivocal, right? That's what the word's supposed to mean, supports the personhood amendment in the platform, which says that a fetus, or not just a fetus, I mean an embryo, a zygote, a fertilized egg, right? Something smaller than a period that has no thoughts, feelings, or blood, or just a cell, that has all equivalent rights and human dignity to you or me. I mean, that's what the 14th Amendment says. It says equal protection under the laws, which means, in fact, that a woman carrying the fetus is of no more value than the cell itself. And if you have to, if a doctor's in a situation where they could save one life to kill another, they're not supposed to ever do that. So if the woman will die because the fetus is there, then the woman has to die. I mean, you let that all kinds of consequences to saying.
Let me interject again, because I've dealt, as a volunteer chaplain in Alexandria Hospital with a lot of women in this situation whose fetuses have died. And under Mitt Romney's laws, they would just be allowed to suffer the consequences of whatever that is.
Well, that's right. That's
and keep
right.
in mind,
these people are very, very, very dangerous. They really, really are.
Yeah, keep in mind, the personhood, this personhood law or whatever it is, was put to referendum in Mississippi and voted down. It was too extreme for Mississippi, goodness sake.
Right.
And I didn't know that anything was too extreme for Mississippi.
Just think about Paul Ryan's Medicare plan was too extreme for Newt Gingrich. Remember, he called it right-wing social engineering. I didn't know anything was too extreme for Newt Gingrich.
He's to the right of Newt.
But Paul Ryan is to the right of Newt.
But Terry's right. We laugh to keep from crying many times here.
That's true.
But the fact of the matter is this. The people that we are dealing with now are very, very dangerous.
And one of the things I find so interesting is how there used to be a time when campaigns caught in lies would be like, oops, sorry, you got us. Right? At least they were embarrassed to be blatantly lying. This is a campaign that is really, it reminds me a lot of, I guess, the Soviet Union in the sense that Ron Paul doesn't exist. They're actually writing him out. I mean, there were times, the 1980 convention, very famously, Ted Kennedy gave a powerful speech, probably hurt Jimmy Carter in 1980. You know, I mean, Ronald Reagan gave a speech in 1976. Just look, recently, you know, whether it's, Kerry and Edwards or, I mean, the losing nominee, Hillary Clinton. Just in 08, gave a very strong speech at the time. And listen, she almost beat Obama. It was a very close race.
Ron Paul said he doesn't fully endorse Mitt Romney.
And what's happening is...
Oh, my.
Oh, no, it's more than that. His delegates in that hall were asked, I just saw this on CNN before we came in, were asked if they were going to vote for Mitt Romney. And they said, after we were treated today, I'm inclined to think no. So Mitt Romney apparently has disrespected Ron Paul delegates, actually delegates to the Republican National Convention, who are, I don't know if they're going to vote for Obama, but are maybe stay out of the race, or maybe vote for Ron Paul as a third-party candidate, because they've gone too far. And the other way that Romney's really going far, I think, is with the ads he's running. This is something very interesting. The most popular ad he's running... Indeed, some two-thirds of the ads that he's running in swing states like Virginia has to do with an obscure thing that's actually a lie.
Yeah.
And it's the workfare requirement. So we all know that Clinton in 1996 passed workfare, saying that if you want to get welfare checks, you have to have a work requirement. Mm. And since that time, welfare has dramatically declined for poor people. In fact, welfare used to help about 78% of people in poverty.
Yeah, but look on the other side of that, Mark. We have increased the number of poor people.
Yes, well, that's true. But it's gone from 78% to 28%. So welfare used to take care of more than three-quarters of poor people in America. Now it takes care of barely one-quarter of people in America. And one of the things that very tiny things that got almost no attention because it really wasn't that big a deal is President Obama said that if a state wants to change the requirement to make it more likely someone works, which actually would mean toughening the requirement.
Right.
That the state was free to do that if the state wanted to. So Romney is running commercials, and I've seen them in Virginia, saying that basically, Obama's bringing back welfare. He's ending workfare. Yeah. It is an absolute lie. It was called a pants-on-fire lie by PolitiFact, by four Pinocchios. Every single news outlet said it's just blatantly false. Obama simply hasn't loosened, if anything, he's strengthened the work requirement. Again, you may disagree with that. You may think that's too cruel. But he hasn't, touched it, right. Or he's slightly strengthened it. He's basically said states can experiment with it. What's interesting is, and there was an article in today's paper by Ezra Klein, as he points out, not just that the thing is utterly false and everybody knows it's utterly false, but that welfare is not even a top 10 issue for Americans. It's like, you know, the economy and people. Like, it's way, way down there on the list. And the question was, who does this impact? And what the studies found is if you are racist, and there was a very interesting study, the way they did it. They would actually look and see people who typed in racist terms into Google. Mm. If you are a racist, these commercials appeal to you. They don't affect one people one way or the other if you're not a racist.
Right.
So this is a specific appeal to the racist vote that
you
got
to get to the polls.
Because there are a lot of race, put it this way, racist white people believe that there are more blacks on welfare than whites. Turns out not to be true. There are more whites on welfare than blacks.
Yeah, total disregard for the facts.
But again,
I mean,
the facts don't really matter.
Science, they can't count.
Right. So here they have a false commercial appealing to people who not only believe the commercial but believe a falseness about welfare in general, who happen to be racist, at the same time as Romney is bringing up the birther issue again, which also the polls show.
Yeah, isn't that funny? You caught that in
Michigan. Dramatically appeals to racists.
Where he does this whole bit of saying, you know, I'm so great, it's great to be here in my home state and all that. And, you know, I love being here with my friends and my relatives where I was raised and I was a young boy. And, you know, didn't have any trouble finding my birth certificate.
So here's the thing about the birther issue. Mitt Romney's father, George Romney, governor of Michigan, ran for president in 1968, was born in, wait for it,
Mexico.
Mexico.
Yep.
His father was not a natural-born citizen under the Constitution. His own father, who ran for president, if you believe, as actually I think there's a fair interpretation of that provision in the Constitution, that you have to be born in the United States to run for president. Some say you could be born as a citizen. But if you believe that, then Mitt Romney's own father illegally ran for president. Furthermore,
he didn't win, so it doesn't matter.
Furthermore,
too much,
Barack Obama's opponent in 2008, John McCain, was born in the country of Panama. And nobody seemed to ask questions about his birth certificate.
But wasn't he born in Panama at the canal?
Well, it's there's actually some question as to whether he was born in or outside the canal zone. Although, to be fair, his mother gave birth on one side of the line, it
doesn't count.
It's not even clear the Panama Canal Zone is an American territory, because unlike, say, Puerto Rico or Guam, which are legitimate American territories, the Panama Canal Zone was leased for 99 years.
Yeah.
And so, arguably, it was never an American territory, because you can't have a territory that's leased. When you lease something, you don't own it, right? You lease it. So, in fact, that's exactly the argument that the Bush administration used to justify torture at Guantanamo Bay. It's not really ours, because we're leasing it, we don't own it, although Guantanamo Bay is an unlimited lease.
Well, keep in mind something here, and that is...
My point is this, real quick. John McCain, George Romney, born clearly outside the United States. They never had their birth certificates challenged. Obama, born in Hawaii, a clear state of the United States, has. Is there anything other than the color of their skin that distinguishes Obama, who was clearly born in the United States, from these two white gentlemen who were clearly not born in the United States?
Well, this reminds me of Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan went around telling a story about a welfare queen who, you know, got maybe a 50,000 a year or something like that. I believe it was the Chicago Tribune did some research and found out that it was completely, false.
Absolutely false.
And Ronald Reagan continued to tell the story.
Right.
Here's the bottom line. And the same is going on with Mitt Romney now. What he's doing is actually what he could do is just put the word welfare in big letters on the screen for 60 seconds.
Wink, wink, nod, nod. Well, vote for me, welfare, you welfare. Racist, you.
Right. In welfare, because he didn't say, proving that something is false to the right wing propagandist is irrelevant. Because they didn't say it because it was true in the first place.
Right.
He didn't care. He doesn't care. So what? You proved it's false. It was never true. It was never. It said. Remember the. It wasn't intended as a factual statement.
That's right. I forgot he said that already.
Yeah, yeah. So that's
Republican
the bottom line.
Leader.
So if you were to say, "Well, that's false," Mitt Romney, he'd say, "Well, it wasn't intended as a factual statement.
It was intended to appeal to racism.
Symbolic to remind everyone, hey, you know that guy over there is black, and I ain't. In case you'd forgotten."
And the reality here is, and we've touched on it, and I'm going to keep on touching on it because I think it's really a crucial message. You know, these guys, with what they're stating now, with what they're proposing now, that is the tip of their ideological iceberg. You know, and they are, without question, by their own statements, their own actions, they're sexist, they're racist, they're white supremacist, and they are male supremacist. And they really, honestly, innately, and inherently, and ideologically believe that. And we better be not just voting for Obama. I guess we can't really endorse him on the air, but maybe voting for Obama. But we've got to be scared of these men. These men are not your normal politicians running on different issues. They're way far beyond that. What is it Goldwater said? Extremism in the
defense of liberty is no
pursuit of virtue is no crime. These guys are just into extremism is no crime, period.
And of course, these aren't the only false things they're saying. One of the things that strikes me is again, would be humorous if it weren't so serious, is, of course, the Democrats are rightly charging, as we have, that Paul Ryan wants to end Medicare. There's no dispute about that. He wants to end Medicare. He wants to give you a coupon instead. Good luck with that. But what they're doing is they're comparing, this is really, again, almost humorous to me, they're comparing the fact that Obama cut $700 million to providers like hospitals and mostly to drug companies. Mostly he was cutting from the Medicare Advantage program that was giving corporate welfare to pharmaceutical companies. Cut from the providers. And the Republicans want to cut it from the recipients. And they're pretending it's exactly the same. They're saying, well, Obama cut $700 million from big pharmaceutical companies and he's cutting Medicare. All we want to do is make old people not have the money to pay for their care. So it's the same difference, right? Obama wants to stop pharmaceutical companies from making corporate welfare, and we want to stop old people from getting Medicare. It's the same difference. And, of course, it couldn't be more different. Couldn't be any more
and
different.
And let me throw in there, I mean, I'm sorry to keep on coming in with these serious things, guys, but I'm really kind of worried about this whole situation. 40% of seniors already on Medicare cannot afford their medication and do right. not get the medication they need and do not fulfill the prescriptions they need, and because they need the money to eat, and they're not, if there's not enough even now to take care of senior citizens. These guys are corrupted, they're liars, and the sad fact is, which we really got to deal with and begin to figure out, guys, is they've got a lot of support. They've got a lot of support in this country.
One last topic.
There's about 1 or 2 points that separate them now, right?
That's true. One last topic I want to throw out there before we take a break and open up the phone
lines. One more? How can we? Oh, my goodness.
I got one more, and that has to do with voting rights, because it's probably my most favorite topic. In South Carolina, of course, they're fighting right now. The Justice Department is suing. In Ohio, a judge ruled today that if a poll worker accidentally throws your vote away, okay, then you could actually still vote. The Republicans have promised to appeal. They believe that if you do nothing wrong, but a poll worker trashes your vote, you should lose your right to vote, and they are going to appeal all the way up to Ohio Supreme Court, and I don't know, maybe United States Supreme Court, in defense of the principle that voters who do nothing wrong should lose their right to vote if we choose that to happen. An amazing thing. Not the judge who made the right decision, but the Republicans are threatening to appeal. And finally, in Pennsylvania, the judge that upheld the voting rules said the reason he's upheld them is because the election workers promised to show flexibility. For example, the 92-year-old that didn't have the voter ID and sued for it, they gave her her ID. So now they're actually in Pennsylvania defending the principle of, we'll let you vote if we want to let you vote. And if you really, you're homeless and you can't afford to sue, we probably won't let you vote. A lot to talk about.
Unfortunately, this problem is answered because we can each take a gun to the polling places and we can make damn sure that no employee, no voter guy can drop or throw away my ballot.
I don't even want to suggest such a thing. Let me give out the phone number, 202-588-0893, 202-588-0893. What do you think about all these things that are going on with the Republican Party and Republican National Convention? This is Mark Levine with
Garland Nixon
and
Terry D. Kester.
We have the Raucous Caucus.
Death, ready to revolt.
And we'll be right back after this.
As the 2012 general election nears, the two dominant political parties are holding their conventions in the coming weeks. Beginning August 27th, Pacifica Radio will be broadcasting live for the Republican National Convention in Tampa, Florida. The following week, we'll be in Charlotte, North Carolina for the Democratic one. Tune in to your local Pacifica affiliate for comprehensive coverage of what's happening both inside and outside the convention halls. Join us during the evening starting at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, 6 Mountain, and 5 Pacific to hear voices from the street and voices from the podium right here on this Pacifica radio station.
WPFW will be airing each night of Pacifica Radio's nightly live coverage of the Republican and Democratic National Conventions. It begins Tuesday night and continues through Thursday night, each night beginning at 8 p.m. WPFW will also be airing Democracy Now!'s expanded two-hour news analysis on this Friday morning, beginning at 8 a.m.
Into the night and back to the Raucous Caucus.
Welcome back to the Raucous Caucus. This is Mark Levine with
Garland Nixon
and
Terry D. Kester
from an undisclosed location. I swear he's like Dick Cheney. He's hiding
That's
all the
it.
Time.
It's a bomb shelter. I mean, come on.
It's inside a mountain.
I'm getting prepared for these guys.
Is that what it is? We are reporting on the Republican National Convention and really all things Republican going on this week. There are a lot of things as Hurricane Isaac barrels down.
Mitt?
And also, I should note that we are in general giving convention commentary all this week. We're going to be doing it between 8:40 and 9:10, or maybe 8:40.
The times may vary, but we will be on nightly.
Yeah, so tonight. But tonight it's 8:40 and 9:10, right, Terry?
Right. So, that's right. That's
so
right.
You could check us out hopefully every night at that time. We're still getting there, but we're going to do it during the Republican Convention and the Democratic Convention. You can get commentary from the Raucous Caucus.
And we'll be on all of the Pacifica Network.
And we should be all over the Pacifica Network, and hopefully we'll get your comment, too, if you want to call in at 202-588-0893. 202-588-0893. Lots to talk about, everything from the Republican platform to Ron Paul's getting his disrespect to the ads being run to denial of voting rights.
Hey, you want to hear something?
Sexism, racism.
You guys want to hear something else great from the
legitimate rape?
Something else great from the Republican platform? Republicans renew their call for replacing family planning programs for teens with abstinence education, which teaches abstinence until marriage as the responsible and respected standard of behavior.
Because we all know that if you tell a child not to have sex, they certainly will not.
All you got
to
do is tell them.
It's like when you tell a child no candy after dinner, they never ever stay. Take a bite of candy. You tell a child, don't have sex until you're married. And no, in fact, no teenager in history, apparently, has ever had sex when their parent told them
no. You guys stuck to that, didn't you?
No comment.
Just checking.
No, because they didn't have the abstinence-only program.
If they'd only taught you in the school.
I would have been a different person. Because my life would have been different.
Everything your teacher told you to do, you always did. Right, Garland?
Also, here's something great from their platform that I'm sure our Latino listeners will love.
Yeah.
It says, federal funding should be denied to universities that provide in-state tuition rates to illegal immigrants. It advocates making English the official national language. And as a matter of fact, I think they also advocate making oxygen the official gas of the human beings.
There you go. Although I'll tell you this, in addition to wanting to self-deport, and I'm not quite sure how you do that, 7 to 11 million people, they also want specific worker visas for guest worker programs so we can bring in substandard labor for the, you know, Mitt Romney's company.
You're right, yeah.
So we can pay them less than the minimum wage. So we actually get, think about the benefits. We actually get the benefits of having slave labor at slave prices. Plus, we get rid of the current Latino community. So it's a twofer.
And you pay them a little teeny bit so you don't have to deal with the abolitionists.
And then you don't have to worry about unions and other things.
Abolitionists and things that, you know, worrisome left-leaning people like that.
202-588-0893. Tesfa, welcome to the Raucous Caucus. Hello, Tesfa. Are you there?
Hello?
Yes.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Good evening, my friend.
Good evening, Tesfa.
Good evening.
This extreme right wing doesn't believe in democracy itself. They don't care about nation. They don't care about their country's men and women. They only care about where they make money. They don't want to pay tax because they believe in oligarchy. In oligarchy, the richest, the ones who rule, do not pay. The poor pays tax to them.
Mm-hmm.
These are extreme, and these do not care about the democracy. They don't believe in democracy. That's why
they
want to limit.
Right, limit people voting. It's funny. I haven't even mentioned the tax policies yet. Thank you, Tesla, for bringing
really
that
have
up.
To?
I mean, it's amazing to me, under Paul Ryan's tax plan, Mitt Romney would pay less than 1% in taxes. Less than 1%. It's shocking. It's truly shocking. Did you have something you want to say, Colin, about that?
Let's see. Republican administration would extend the Bush tax cuts of 2001 and 2003 pending reform of the tax codes. They'd strive to eliminate taxes on interest, dividends, and capital gains, which rich people.
And estate tax.
It would work to repeal the alternative minimum tax. The party backs constitutional amendments to balance the federal budget and require a supermajority for any tax increase.
So this is great. So we're going to end.
What's really significant about this, guys, because everybody says, you know, the numbers don't matter, nobody cares about the platform, the candidates don't matter. But in this case, this platform really matters because it really shows you how these guys are thinking.
I'm just crucial
for people to understand this platform and what it reflects on the Republicans.
The funny thing is the people who wrote the platform know it's a lie. You cannot say that we are going to have taxes at the, you're going to lower taxes to a level that we haven't seen since before the New Deal, and still keep defense at the cost you have, and still keep Social Security, and still keep Medicare. So, okay, they'll end Social Security, they'll end Medicare. But even if you just pay for defense and interest on the national debt, you have to cut discretionary spending some 90%. Did you like food safety? Sorry.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of costly.
Do you care that there are no arsenics dumped in your river?
Nah.
Get rid of the EPA. I mean, do you like your national parks?
Highways are overrated.
Overrated. I mean, there's a whole bunch of things the national government does that would all go away. Let me go to Nathan. Nathan, welcome to the Raucous Caucus.
Yes, it is sick me listening to y'all because
sorry.
This whole country is a racist country. Y'all acting like the Republicans are something different. They're all racist, but so are the Democrats. Ain't no difference between the two parties.
Well, the Democrats will let blacks vote.
Did you call last week?
I mean, what's the difference?
Well, I'll give you a bunch of differences.
You don't have enough time for us to tell you the differences.
For one thing, the Democrats believe that blacks should vote. That's a big difference.
We just read the differences.
Republicans are trying to stop blacks from voting. I mean, how many differences do you want, whether it's Social Security or Medicare? Or
the question is not what
education or...
Yeah. I mean,
yeah, Nathan, there's a difference. There's a difference. It may not be big enough for you, but there's a difference, and that difference is huge at this point.
Yeah, that's a fact, you know, and I have to comment on that because Lord knows there are people out here saying there's no difference between the Democrats and the Republicans. If you can't see the difference between the platform of the two parties, the reality is you just don't want to see the difference. You know, one thing I've noticed most of the time when someone says to you, there's no difference, and you say, well, there are, they'll start repeating the similarities. But they do this, but they do. We're not disputing that there are similarities. I'm just
the Democrats are far from perfect.
Yeah, I'm
I concede that point.
Right. But again, that's not a logical statement. It's not a rational statement. It is an emotional statement. It really means I'm mad at the Democrats in reality because you'd have to live on Oz to think that there were no differences.
And as we point out, Mitt Romney is expressly appealing to the racist.
Lord knows, I wish there were more differences.
Yeah.
But there are some.
There's a crucial thing. You're right, John, and there's a crucial thing for people here to think about. Because, yes, the system is corrupted, and I stand by that. Yes, the system needs to be changed. Yes, the money and interest have taken over the system entirely. That is horrible and bad for the country, et cetera. I'm totally with trying to do everything we can to correct that. But the key difference is ideology.
Mm-hmm.
Even if the Democrats are guilty of 532 sins.
Which they are.
Which they probably
yeah,
are.
Right, yeah.
You know, the ideology is so different.
Yeah.
And that's what's essential. I mean, we are on the way with this ideology to becoming a real, we're already a fascist nation. We just haven't institutionalized it. If these guys win, you're going to institutionalize fascism in this country.
Strong words. 202-588-0893. Let's go to Martha. Martha, welcome to the Raucous Caucus.
Hello,
Martha.
Hi, Marcia. Make sure you turn your radio down. I can hear us in the background. Turn it down because that'll mix us all
okay.
up.
Okay. Well, in regard to the voter thing, there's a lot of issues there. One is, of course, voter disenfranchisement. If you're a so-called felon or even an ex-so-called felon in many states,
mm-hmm.
and I read Michelle Alexander's book, and there's so much useful information in there. And one is that the Department of Human Resources' own statistics show that whites do and sell drugs at the same rate as African Americans, yet they're sometimes 8 or 9 times more likely to be incarcerated for that and held for longer times. And there's another, so that therefore it's a civil rights issue, but there's a part in that book where there was a case in the 1800s where some Chinese guys were said to be operating a laundry without a license.
Right.
And are you familiar with that?
I am familiar with the case. I know the case.
Yeah.
I studied in law school. You, sorry.
It was like in San Francisco.
1880s.
Or
yes,
yeah,
it was in California.
Yeah.
Anyway, go ahead.
I should have gotten the thing right in front of me to read it because it was so eloquently stated. That since no Chinese had been granted licenses and a lot of mostly white people had been granted licenses, that therefore they should not be punished, the law should not be applied to them because it was so clearly unequally applied. So therefore, I was wondering if a so-called ex-felon or even someone in prison could sue on that basis.
It's the Yickwo v. Hopkins case. I did study it in law school. I'll tell you something. One place where it's even more clear, I think, is you look at cocaine and crack disparities.
Mm-hmm.
Cocaine, it tends to be a rich man's drug. It's sold often to white people. The drug dealers tend to be more often white. Crack is a poor person's drug. It's the same substance. It's just in a different form sold. And of course, crack is punished greatly, and of course the users and the sellers tend to be more African American than white. To me, that's a clear case of take the exact same drug, look at the sellers and the users, and the black people are punished much more than the white people. But you know,
and I want to interject in here, guys, because we hear this so often, and I think we're distorting reality here. I really do. It's economic difference. I'm not denying the racism, and the racism is a way that the economic difference is exploited. The reality is it's always easier to prosecute people who don't have any money.
That's true.
It's always easier to arrest them, to jail them, to forget about them, to convict them, et cetera, if they ain't got no money.
Hey, let me
and
read.
That's the key thing in this nation that is so rotten.
Let me read another paragraph before we go to the next callers from the GOP platform.
Okay.
It's on economic growth. It says, we do not offer yet another made in Washington package of subsidies and spendings to create temporary or artificial jobs. So, in other words, we ain't doing nothing.
No,
we're not going to do anything.
We don't believe in doing anything.
And we're not going to do it in a very aggressive way.
Right there. Yeah.
Got to go over big in Detroit, guys.
There you go. 202-588-0893. Let's go to Yuchi. Yuchi, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hello.
I just want you guys to know I'm not challenging your position because you've already convinced me that you know, you're involved in your thoughts, and so we won't go there. I'll just say this about this idea of whether or not there's a difference between Republicans and Democrats. So that's not the argument. People often mistake. There are big differences between Democrats and Republicans. The point that I make, and a lot of other people that I know make, Dr. Claude Anderson is someone you might want to read up on also, is that neither one of those parties has the best interest of humanity in mind. Whether the Republicans are screwing us one way, the Democrats are screwing us another way, but we happen to like the way the Democrats screw us much better than the Republicans. So the idea being that if we were to go to a third party, and a lot of people, they're like, well, no, because then you're going to start draining votes away, but you got to start somewhere. And the idea being that the Republicans and the Democrats together normally will gather about 98% of the total votes cast. But if you throw a third party in there and their total vote starts to drop to, say, 80%, 70%, 60%, and 40%, then you begin to realize, oh, well, maybe I need to start listening to those people. Now, on the idea that, well, if you start sifting off and you let the wrong person in office, the reality is even when you've got the wrong person in office, I mean, Armageddon hasn't occurred and Charizlak has not occurred. I mean, it'll be a harder time for different people, but, you know, you talk about expanding your mind, you got to start somewhere. So that's where we're all there. So, no,
I'll tell you something,
Yuchi.
Here's the thing.
False argument,
if we had a system, and they have it in some states, I think Louisiana, frankly, has a system whereby you have three candidates can run for a position, mm-hmm. and they take the top two, and then they have a runoff,
right.
then I'm 100% in support of third parties. Because, you know, if the Democrats get 20%, the Greens get 30%, and the Republicans get 40%, then the Republicans and the Greens run, and then, you know, the Greens can win the election. But the way our system is right now, and you got to start at the state level to get this happening, a third party only hurts the party that you most like.
And
which is why I firmly hope that Ron Paul runs for president.
Yeah, right, me too.
And I hope that, you know, it'd be great if Rick Santorum and Pat Buchanan, anyone on the right, David Duke, I would love it if he would run for office as a third
and
party
also,
candidate.
You know, we should also note, you know, we're the only country in the Western world, only major democracy, that doesn't have a national system of voting. That
right.
we have 50 different states with 50 different rules and regulations, which of course is absurd.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I would challenge a couple things he said. He said, well, you got to start somewhere. No, you don't have to start by handing the presidency to a couple of completely right wing fruitcakes, number one. And number two, he says, the Democrats screw us one way and the Republicans screw us another way. The fact of the matter is that is an oversimplification of something. And if you read the platforms, it's not that simple. It sounds so good. It sounds wonderful. Oh, that's great. That's a good, nice bumper sticker. But that's a long ways from reality.
202-588-0893. Let's go to Zach. Welcome to the Raucous Caucus, Zach.
Hey, I disagree with you guys. I really do think that the Republicans and Democrats are both kind of serving the same interests. I mean, you said this, they serve corporate and banking interest over the people. They serve the police state and military complex. And, I mean, if you look at what Obama's done, he's just continued the defense spending. He's continued the indefinite torture or holding of Bradley Manning and also the Guantanamo Bay people. The war on drugs has not stopped. We still have troops all over the world. We're wasting our money doing it. And, I mean, Monsanto, he appointed this guy to run the FDA. They're not taking care of our food.
Well, think about something, though. Think about something that I said before you came on. I said, when people say there's no difference or they're just alike, they start by telling me all the similarities. I am not in any way disputing that there aren't similarities. Both of us could spout off similarities for the next 3 hours. What I'm saying is there are, in fact, differences, and they are significant. Now, we will agree that there are similarities. Can you agree that there are significant differences as per the platform that I just read?
No, there's differences. I mean
significant differences.
What Republicans are doing towards women is insane. But also, I mean, if you look at Obama's record, he says he's going to help gay marriage, but he doesn't do anything for it nationally. He leaves it as a state issue.
And you think the Republicans would?
In 18 states now, you can still be fired for being gay.
And you think the Republicans would fix that? You think Romney and Ryan would fix that?
No, I'm just saying that.
And Obama supports the Employment Non-Discrimination
Act. And it's not representing the people at all.
No, but here's the thing.
Taxation without representation.
Look.
They're stealing our money, putting people in prison, wasting, you know, resources, destroying the planet. And, I mean, Obama, too. He's
but I'm not disputing that.
Pipeline. He's going to do oil. He's going to do coal.
When it comes to corporations, is there any doubt in your mind that the Democrats are less friendly to corporations than the Republicans? They may be too friendly in your view. They're too friendly in my view. But the Republicans are a heck of a lot more friendly. They would end corporate taxes. They would allow more pollution. They would allow more bombing of mountains.
Where do away with the EPA.
Do away with the Environmental Protection Agency.
Build coal-fired
plants. If you're talking about gay rights, it's at the state level. That's true. But Obama's doing stuff at the federal level, too. He's fighting the Defense of Marriage Act. He supports the employment non-discrimination that you're talking about. It's true the Republicans have filibustered it, but that's not Obama's fault. I think sometimes people see the Democrats and they haven't done everything we'd like them to do. Sometimes it's because of Republican obstructionism, yeah. And sometimes it's because they're not as left as we'd like them to be. But either way,
the point is, guys. I mean, I'm not going to dispute our caller because I mean the problems in this country, and we tend to make light of them. You know, the problems in this country are huge. I don't know why I'm so serious today, but this really does scare me.
It is scary.
The problems in this country are huge. The main point is, if you get the Republicans in, you're not going to have a chance to fight any of the corruption.
Right, that's
that
right. Good point. With Obama, we have a chance.
In, you might get a chance to fight some of the corruption, and it's really that simple.
And frankly, if you want one reason to vote for a Democrat, and one reason only, just look at the United States Supreme Court.
I was about to say.
Because by a 5-4 vote, they said that $1 equals one vote in Citizens United.
Hey, guess
by
what?
A 5-4 vote, they chose the President of the United States in George Bush. By a 5-4 vote, this Supreme Court has radicalized, has said that, you know, that anyone can have any amount of guns. I mean, everything has been by a 5-4 vote. If we can get one justice on the Supreme Court to replace one of those radical five, that in and of itself would be a major positive change.
If Ralph Nader doesn't run in 2000, we're not talking about a Citizens United
That's
right
true.
Now. But his people of vote would never, they ignore that. They totally ignore that. Oh, no, the fact that we gave away thousands of votes to the other guy had no effect whatsoever.
202-588-0893. Let's go to Tom. Welcome, Tom, to the Rocks Caucus.
Good evening. A huge difference between the parties is the voter ID law.
There you go.
Yep.
This morning on Community Comment, a show on WPFW, a caller said, what is Holder doing? He's fighting them.
33
right.
states
That's
he's fighting.
That's a misimpression, but he's got suits against South Carolina,
yes,
I believe,
does.
Against Texas.
Florida, Ohio, Pennsylvania, all of them.
Yeah, and
do you
doing
think
his
John
job,
Dallas would and, fight these?
Yeah, and for his trouble, he got persecuted by the House Judiciary Committee on that
oh, yeah.
gun thing in
Fast
Arizona.
And thing.
I can't
good points,
prove
Tom.
There's a connection, but I think there is.
That started under Bush.
He did a great job of holding his ground, too.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, it's a good solid point. I mean, if you want a fair system, there's nothing that's more dangerous to democracy, and I hate to give a single thing most dangerous, but I'm going to say it, than denying someone the right to vote. Because every other problem, even massive, horrible problems like poverty and climate change and the horrible things going on, gun laws, all of that can be changed if we elect representatives to change those laws. But if they take away our right to vote, then we can't fix all those other massive problems, you know, corporate welfare, whatever your favorite issue is. If you take away someone's right to vote, you can't affect the environmental or civil rights, whatever your issue is, taxes. So that's a big difference. Republicans taking away people's right to vote.
If we win this, that means the battle's got to continue. It's got to continue in any way. But this doesn't mean with this election, you know, it's done. It's over. It's obviously not.
No.
We've really got to fight for our country. I mean that in the broadest sense.
And I'd rather see the Democrats win, and I can fight within the Democratic Party to try to pull the party to the left and get them to do all the wonderful things I'd want, than see the Republicans, and, you know, I probably will be hiding underground with Mark and Terry, because, of course, needless to say.
They're taking Terry first.
I think.
Terry's already in the shelter.
We're moving a lean-to in Montana, buddy, because we're going off the air.
Yeah, we're going to move in with him. Absolutely. All right, let's go to Doc. Welcome to the show, Doc.
Yeah, welcome, guys. I we're winding down time, and I'll make it fast. And you made so many excellent points. Let me just reinforce a couple. Nathan called. This is 2 weeks for Nathan, and God bless you. You let Nathan talk, and you know, you're free with that. And the previous call that we just had, again, I'm going to repeat. Let me reinforce something. You've got to be incredibly naive to think that there's no difference. I won't vote. The Democrats are guilty or just as guilty as the Republicans. So as Nathan said, they're all racist. You know, if the Republicans get in, Terry talks about fascism. Nathan is dead on the doorstep outside of his house. You know, and maybe before he dies, he said, well, you know, just satisfy me. Were you a Republican or a Democrat that shot me? When you've got a guy that says, all a woman has to do is look to the juice in her body.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, whether the Democrat that said that, Democrats are bad because they're for abortion. Well, if they're the same, why Republicans, you know, you can't vote? You know, guys, we talk about voter suppression. This is and look where the suppression is coming from.
That's right.
Mississippi, Alabama, the same people that asked you, Nathan's great-great-grandfather,
that's right,
how many bubbles on a bar of soap?
That's right.
How many atoms on the head of a pin?
And they're doing again.
Was your father allowed to vote? Because if he was allowed to vote, you vote. Look how many officials in the South, the people that are voting. I mean, actually, what I'm trying to say is that look at the difference between Republican black elected officials or people of color and those in the Republican Party, notwithstanding somebody like Mario Rubio. You have to be incredibly naive to think that it's just the same. And one very quick point. Some years ago, I'm an independent. I've always been an independent, never been anything but an independent. I could afford to vote and write in Donald Duck for president. Let me tell you why I could do that. Because I was making enough money. I had a nice car. I had a nice house. And it didn't really affect me that much.
Mm.
But when I get married, I've got two kids, and all of a sudden, you know, whether I can get some assistance or the wife can get some assistance when she's sick, this is a big issue.
Yeah. Or Medicare when you get older.
If it's only that the Democrats give me two things and they promise 500, then in reality, I'm happy with those two. Versus that, but you got to be naive. You got to be naive, as I said. I can't stress that enough. And folks, maybe they'll get Nathan first, but the guy that just called up and said, I don't see a difference, and they're getting after gays, sooner or later, if you listen to what the Republicans are saying about women, about blacks, about voting,
everything,
they're going to get him.
You are going to see
Thank
a
you,
difference.
Doc.
That was a huge, great call.
And you know, it's funny. He said, what he really said, I'll agree with him. He said, I don't see a difference. Well, you know something? If you got your hands over both eyes, you probably don't see a difference.
You know, there's nothing wrong with reforming the Democratic Party, making it better. We work to do that all the time. We actually had, those who remember, an Obama intervention right here on the Raucous Caucus. And
he needs another one. There's no question. He needs another, but we'll give it to him.
But to compare Obama's mistakes, and he's made a few, with the Republicans' intentional destruction of the community that is or was America.
Well, let me read that part of their platform. One more sentence.
All right.
We will end the EPA's war on coal and encourage the increased safe development in all regions of the nation's coal resources. We call on Congress to prohibit the EPA from moving forward with new greenhouse gas regulations.
And of course, one of the things they do.
But there's no difference between them and the.
One of the things the Environmental Protection Agency does is they prevent mountain bombing, where the coal industry to this day are using weapons more powerful than the atomic bomb on Hiroshima to blow apart these beautiful 4 billion-year-old mountains in the Appalachians. And what that does is it does free coal, and it also ends a lot of jobs because you blow up the mountain, you don't need someone to get the coal. But it also rains down into the rivers of West Virginia and the Appalachia, arsenic and selenium and all kinds of. The reason why I can't swim in the Potomac River just outside my house is because of coal interests in West Virginia poisoning the Potomac River. And when you think about it, West Virginia.
There might be some personal reasons too. We don't want you to swim.
I'm not going there, Terry. The water from West Virginia, when you think about it, flows not just east into the Atlantic seaboard, but west into the Mississippi River. The Appalachian Mountains are the source of like 2/3 of the nation's water. I mean, really everything east of the Rockies, that water comes from the Appalachians. Thank you, coal companies. If you want to drink dirty water,
We can burn the water for energy.
We got one more caller.
That in Detroit. Just to correct one little thing there, because we don't want to ever mislead our audiences. Yeah. That amount of explosives you were talking about, Mark, is cumulative. It's not that they have one explosion that is larger than an atomic weapon.
But they have exploded more than Hiroshima.
Yeah, it's cumulative.
All right, let's go.
Still disgusting.
Last caller, real quick, Imam. We only got like 30 seconds for you. Make your point.
No problem. For me, There is a difference. For a person who works in the humanities, I'm working on his PhD, Mitt Romney just recently mentioned that he would get rid of the National Endowment for the Arts. And I think that's an important thing for WPFW and other institutions similar that
Corporation of Public Broadcasting
arts,
will be gone.
That Romney and the Republican Party would eliminate such a thing.
Thank you. Another very good point. Thank you to all our callers. I'll tell you something. Even the ones we disagree with, I appreciate your calling in because that is a view
that people have. We all do.
Even Nathan calls in. Our very angry friend Nathan who calls in and often calls us names. We love Nathan anyway.
It's okay. This is the Raucous Caucus. I am Mark Levine with
Garland Nixon
and
Terry D. Kester.
And we'll be back on very shortly.
Well, we will be back on at 8:40. If you want to hear more from us, stay tuned to 89.3 FM WPFW. You can hear from us at 8:40 and 9:10 and probably
8:40 through 9:10, right?
I think it's that half hour, so we'll be right back in 40 minutes. And every day, hopefully this week, we will be reporting on the Republican National Convention this week and the Democratic National Convention next week. Stay